I'm very happy now to welcome Linda Tucker. She's founder of the Global White Lion Protection Trust, and she's author of the book Mystery of the White Lions. She will be at the ARC bookstore here in Santa Fe tonight from 5 to 7, signing books and talking about her book. And tomorrow, Tuesday, there will be a fundraiser for her organization at the Center for Spiritual Living at 6:30 in the evening. Welcome, Linda Tucker, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be talking to you today.
So I had never heard of white lions before. They're a rare animal. I don't know if they're a subspecies of lion, but they're African lions. And they're native to the Timbavati region of South Africa and are nearly extinct. How did you find out about them and get interested in these white lions?
Well, my story's a rather strange story. Coming from an advertising and marketing background, I was returning to Africa on a visit one day when I found myself trapped in the middle of a wild pride of lions in the Timbavati bushveld, a wilderness region neighboring on the Kruger National Park in South Africa. And without going into the story, because I'll be telling that tonight, what happened in essence was that I was surrounded by this pride of lions, angry lions, who were threatening myself and the group that I was in. And then I was rescued by an indigenous medicine woman who walked through the lions to come to my rescue. She saved my life, and ultimately she became my teacher in shamanic practices, which include speaking to lions.
So this is a woman who basically rescued a whole bunch of people who were, you'll tell this story tonight, but you were basically circled by lions, and you were pretty afraid that you were going to be eaten by them because it was night and lions hunt at night and they like to eat their prey at night. And this woman, this African shaman, wasn't scared of them at all and basically calmed them down just enough so that somebody could get out of there and go to their rescue. How does one do that? How does a person literally, it's just like a lot, how does a person tame lions?
Well, she belonged to an ancient lineage of lion shamans. And when I cross-questioned her later as to what had motivated her, because it was more dramatic even than that, she had a baby on her back in the African tradition, and she walked through the lions with this baby on her back to prove that she knew that they wouldn't harm her. Now, that was her grandchild, and no grandmother takes her grandchild into the jaws of death unless they believe that they are absolutely 100% safe. So it was an act of faith. Well, what she explained to me later is that really the relationship with nature is very simple. If we honor it with love and respect, nature will show the same respect back to us. The reason that we are threatened at times by natural situations is that we ourselves are disrespectful. And so this was her training and her true belief, and the lions responded completely to that and lay down in a state of calm, whereas they'd been very aggressive before that.
So you became her student. What was that process like? What was the nature of your study?
Well, I come from an academic background. So apart from my training in at Cambridge University in England, I came from a very kind of rational background. So this was completely new information for me. But her training was to show me true principles of living with nature, which actually all people should know from whatever walks of life they come from. Because nature, after all, is what sustains this planet, and it's from nature that we get our food, our oxygen, our life. So we all really need to reassess our relationship with nature to be one that is protective rather than destructive.
Well, what's interesting about that is that there are, I mean, not completely, but there are a lot of overlaps between this symbolic and spiritual, quote-unquote, way of looking at nature and having a relationship to nature and what ecological sciences know about that as well.
I would agree with you 100%. So the organization that I finally set up, which is called the Global White Lion Protection Trust, then went ahead to purchase land in the endemic area of the white lions, which is both spiritual and their natural homeland. And in the process, we combined science together with what I would call sacred science, to reach the truth and to serve nature and the future of our planet.
And it's a funny thing, because you write in your book, Mystery of the White Lions, that you have to purchase the land in order to have control of it, but on some level you can't really think of yourself as owning it. It's more like you're sharing it with the life that's there.
That's, again, couldn't agree more. You know, we are simply custodians of land for the period that we are alive on this planet. And the work that I have committed my life to hopefully will achieve a heritage site that protects the white lions in perpetuity. In other words, that whole region is a protected area, and ultimately they should be there for our great-great-grandchildren.
Now, there is a horrible practice, a trophy hunting practice, in which these white lions, now the, and let's talk about this for a second too, because the reason you have white lions is because it's a recessive gene, so they're very rare. The mother and father both have to be white in order for a white lion to be born. These were taken into captivity, bred, and then you can't even call it hunted, but killed in the most horrible way. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's a sad thing to have to talk about, but the fact is it happens, and what's more, there's a whole industry taking place that is taking place in South Africa, but it's supported by trophy hunters from all over the world, where rare and critically endangered animals are actually removed from their natural habitat, kept in cages, bred to be killed as trophies, because these people simply want to put another trophy in their trophy room. So if you can imagine one of these rooms with every imaginable rare animal, and then there's a space, you know, which says white lion or polar bear, you know, they need that space to be filled. It's a very sad indictment on the human condition at this time, that rare animals are just seen as commodities to fill a gap or a space.
I was thinking as I was reading about this that you'd almost want to put aside money to provide emergency psychiatric services for these people who are doing this stuff.
True. I mean, you know, it's an indication of the loss of value. So at a certain level, I would feel pity for such people who have lost their reverence and their love for nature.
Now, is this practice legal in South Africa?
The lamentable situation is that it's still legal. Now, my organization, together with animal welfare organizations throughout the globe, have been trying to shut it down since 1997, when it was first exposed. And three different ministers of the environment have promised to shut it down consecutively, and they've done nothing about it. That gives you an indication of how strong the canned hunting industry, that's what it's called, canned hunting, lions in a can. That's how strong this industry is, you know, because the government simply won't follow through on legislation.
So where does it stand now?
Where it stands is that finally the most recent Minister of the Environment took this to court and won. So at least they've won against the canned hunters. However, the canned hunters appealed the court case, and that will take another couple of years. And in the meantime, the practice goes on completely under everyone's noses. If you go onto the internet, you'll find trophy hunting of white lions advertised brazenly on the internet.
So how did you come to found the Global White Lion Protection Trust? That was what, about 8 years ago?
Well, yes, the event of my rescue took place in 1991, all that time ago. Then I spent 7 years studying with African elders and gathered the knowledge about the myths and the legends and the mystery behind these animals, these most sacred animals on the African continent. But then it became clear to me that I actually had to do something about it, not only bring out a book, but actually found a non-profit organization who would have muscle to do something to protect these animals for our future. And that was 2002 when I first founded the Global White Lion Protection Trust.
And what was the original intention and action of this group?
The organization was twofold, to protect the white lions themselves, but also to protect the cultural heritage behind them, which is, you know, the myths and the legends and the spiritual beliefs around these animals, which I myself now, I support these beliefs because they are founded in ancient knowledge that actually holds up to investigation. It actually has a lot to teach scientists today.
Tell us more about that. Tell us some of the stories, these beliefs. And, I mean, this was such a long and interesting path of discovery for you.
It was. And, you know, you'd really need to read my book to uncover the full mystery of these animals. But in essence, they are believed to be angelic beings that have been sent by God at a time of crisis on earth to custodian humankind through the difficult times ahead. So they are angels. The last thing you do with our angels is to hunt them or shoot them. And, you know, that is what is happening. So it is a test of humankind to really stand up and recognize God in nature and recognize that God is very much alive. And to honor these animals as the presence of God.
Now, what is the scientific corollary of that belief about these animals?
I suppose the scientific counterpart there would be that they are a genetic rarity who play a very crucial role in their whole ecosystem. As apex predators, they keep balance of all the animals on earth. And so if you protect the king, you protect all the other kingdoms on earth. So, you know, that gives you a parallel.
So you have been involved with some of these lions directly. Tell us about the lion Mara.
Well, my teacher, Maria Corsa, the extraordinary medicine woman who rescued me from the lions, was able to communicate with the spirit world, and she prophesied that a sacred lioness would be born of special significance to humankind. And she said, no matter how humans try to destroy sacredness in nature, they cannot. And a lioness will be born that will prove to humanity the importance of God in nature. And she said that this lioness would be born in a place that would have meaning for humanity. Well, shortly afterwards, a white lion cub was born in Bethlehem on Christmas Day in the year 2000. Bethlehem is a town in South Africa, and unfortunately is the center of the black heart of the cairn hunting industry. But I saw the symbolic importance, and I made a pilgrimage to Bethlehem to meet with her. And when I met with this little white lion cub, I made a pledge to her that I would not rest until I returned her to the lands of her origins, the wild lands of the Timbavati region. And I managed to fulfill that pledge 5 years later. It took 5 years before she was finally released together with her cubs into the wild. And there she survived magnificently, and a whole lineage of white lions has followed.
There's a National Geographic film which documents part of this lioness's life and her cubs. And, of course, these animals born in captivity, they had to, I mean, it's instinctual, but they had to learn to go out into the wild and hunt. And there was some question about whether they were going to survive.
Absolutely. In fact, there were lots of skeptics and lots of critics. And some of our scientific scientific skeptics said that they would never survive in the wild, and that they would never be able to hunt because, you know, snow white lions in a golden landscape, how can they camouflage themselves? Well, nothing could be further from the truth. If they need to camouflage themselves, they can, and I have photographs of white lions 4 meters away who are hiding behind tall grass, and you cannot see them. So that's the first misnomer. The second one is that they hunted magnificently despite their disadvantages of not being able to, you know, be trained by their mothers in their early years. Mara went straight into the wild without any training, but she knew she had to provide for her cubs. So 5 days after release was her first successful hunt, and 5 weeks after her release, she was hunting so successfully that she didn't need any assistance from us. So that is proof that these are wild animals who are in absolute command of their natural habitat and deserve to be there.
It's quite amazing that this lion was born, first of all, was prophesied to be born, and then was born on Christmas in Bethlehem. And you were able to rescue it. I mean, people who are doing this canned hunting or trophy hunting business, I can't imagine why they would ever let you even see these lions. They know that you're their enemy.
Well, yes, I had friends in the camp, so they allowed me in, you know, under the noses of the hunters. And, you know, I suppose the sad thing is that these hunters have lost respect for God, really, you know, because money has become their God. And you know, these are the issues we all have to wrestle with. What are our values? Is money really a real value, or do we value our earth? Because that, after all, is our survival.
So the model that you're using with the Global White Lion Protection Trust is one that is both ecological and cultural. And it's interesting because just last week we talked to some folks from Kenya, and they were from the Ilingwesi Lodge, which is both a wildlife preserve and an ecotourism site, and a place that allows both culture and economics and wildlife to thrive. And it sounds like you're doing something along those lines as well.
Yes, definitely. I'm delighted to hear there are other places that are doing so, because our model of conservation, community conservation, absolutely ensures that humans are part of the whole conservation ethos. You can't protect an area and remove humans and then say, well, you know, that's going to survive. Humans are part of the whole conservation model, so I'm delighted that others are doing the same thing.
What does it look like in your area, in your preserve?
Well, it's a very beautiful preserve, but unfortunately, one of the main challenges is that the hunting ethos is everywhere. So, you know, if our lions breach our predator-proof fences, they will find themselves in trophy hunting area, north, south, east, and west. So we're still a little enclave of protection for these sacred animals, and we really are appealing for people worldwide to assist in expanding our borders so that we can purchase neighboring lands and they can roam, you know, in their kingdom as they deserve to. My view is that any conservation issue is a global issue, and the white lions, what happens to them happens to humanity. So they really are a global heritage.
Linda Tucker is founder of the Global White Lion Protection Trust. They can be found on the web at whitelions.org, and she's author of the book Mystery of the White Lions, which she will be talking about and signing tonight at the ARC bookstore right here in Santa Fe. It's from 5 to 7, and then tomorrow night at the Center for Spiritual Living at 6:30, there will be a fundraising dinner. And for more information about that, you can call 505-424-8844, extension 5. That's at the event. You can just show up if you want to. Also, it's at 505 Camino de los Marques. Linda Tucker, thanks so much for being with us here on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you for your questions.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe radio cafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz.